Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Thankful for your presence. Especially want to. It's good to see Charlene out, and good to see her, and glad that she's getting her health back to be about with us. So, this morning, as we continue in, Randy started last week talking about women that are mentioned in the lineage. I put women in the lineage of Christ, and it's really the women mentioned in the lineage of Christ, obviously. But this morning, we're going to continue in that study. And we're going to, as Tim read from Ruth chapter 1, we're going to continue in that study this morning. And we're just going to, there's a lot here, obviously, and so I thought I'd just try to maybe go through the book. And as we go through the book briefly, and it just kind of brings out some of the characteristics of Ruth, talk about a few of them as we go through, and then kind of in summary we'll talk about some attributes that are things that she shows in the book. That I think possibly bring out why she's mentioned in the lineage of Christ. And at the end of the book, obviously, we know her as the great-grandmother of David. So as we'll get started here, we'll just, like I said, we're just going to simply go through. It's a pretty quick read and a pretty short book. But we'll just kind of go through it here. And really, chapter 1, I think, talks about Ruth's faithfulness. And really, not only Ruth's faithfulness, but also about her mother-in-law, Naomi. First five verses really just talk about Ruth, and I don't know if that's the best way to summarize it, but Ruth's need to stay with Naomi. And basically, you know, from study before, you understand the situation that Naomi and Ruth are in, or Naomi's in with her two daughter-in-laws. There had been a drought or a famine in the land in Bethlehem and Judah, and so Elimelech had chosen, was Naomi's husband, had chosen to take his two sons and their daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, and I know I'm going to say Oprah before I get done talking this morning, so just bear, I apologize before I do it, but Ruth and Orpah takes the, so as the story goes in these first five verses, Elimelech dies, they're in the land of Moab, Elimelech dies, and then the sons had taken these daughters of Moab. And to back up a step, from other study, probably remember where Moab or the Moabites came from, and that was from the incestual relationship, the incest that happened between Lot and his oldest daughter. He had the Ammonites and the Moabites. One came from the younger, and the Moabites came from the older daughter. But we also know from Deuteronomy that in the old law, they were not allowed to marry into these foreign nations, and we see that puts a little twist on, you know, as the story unfolds in the book of Ruth, and we'll kind of talk through that as we go through this morning. But anyways, so where we're at in these first five verses, Naomi's husband dies, her two sons die, and that brings her to just having the two daughter-in-laws. Here in verses 6 through 15 of chapter 1, Ruth is given, just as Orpah is given, the opportunity to leave Naomi, and in verse 10, it says, and I'll just read what Naomi says there to them in verse 10, verses 8 through 10, it says, and Naomi said to her two daughters, go return each of you, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. So we see the first reaction is that both of them were initially going to stay with Naomi. But Naomi goes on and pleads with them not to do that. And we see later on in verses 12 and 13, 12 and 13, 14 here, leading up to what Tim said, Tim read for us a minute ago. It says, turn back, my daughters, this is verse 12, for I have old and let me skip on down. I'll just go ahead and read it. Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear children, also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that your hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And note the reaction of the two. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And then verse 15, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. So we see here the differentiation between the two attitudes. And I think sometimes it's kind of like when we talk about Thomas in the New Testament and doubting Thomas. I think sometimes in some of the things you read about Orpah, and I know that's not the point of our lesson is to talk about Ruth, but I think sometimes folks are pretty harsh on Orpah. But you can imagine, this is a huge step, and I think that even, it's more, I think there's more to be said about Ruth's decision and what she did as opposed to what Orpah did or didn't do right. But we go on to read what Tim read for us just a minute ago, and this is Ruth's choice to stay, and Tim read that just a minute ago, but I want to read it again because I'm going to stay on this for a little bit. It says, but Ruth said, entreat me to leave, not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And also verse 18, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. So she quit. She basically understood by that what Ruth and her commitment there to her, she understood that she wasn't going to try to talk her out of it anymore. And there's several things that I just, and again, there's a lot to be in this in about Ruth, but I just really want to spend a majority of the time I have this morning and just about those verses and just about what's said there by Ruth. And we'll finish the story, but just before we move any further, and it's, in fact, I was going to say for any of the young people here, I think there's a lot to be said about what the decision that that Ruth makes here. But then the more I thought about it, whether you're 15 or 55 or 75 or whatever, there's a lot to be said about Ruth's decision here. And I broke it down into 5 points. First off, it's a personal decision. Ruth makes a personal commitment to Naomi, and it's specifically to her. And not only to her, but also to her God, that she is going to put away everything she has, her family, her friends. And think about it. These people have come to this land because of a famine in their own land. And he've seen her father-in-law die, her husband's died. And at this time, in this age of society, you know, to be a widow woman at Naomi's age, much less being a young widow woman, you know, there was nothing really to it, but it was a personal decision that she made that she was going to stay with her. But then also in these verses, we see that she was determined to do that. Then also, it's comprehensive. If you look at it, it says, you know, she says, you know, or entreat me not to leave you, nor to turn back. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. And most importantly, your God will be my God. And I think this is where if anybody ever questions, it's okay, why was this, you know, what made this different? Why was this intermarriage, so to speak, or why was this, you know, if we get to later on in the story, what separates her from the other Moabites? The reason that God did not want them to intermarry with these other nations was to introduce foreign gods and the idolatry and all that mattered. But Ruth, in this very moment, makes no doubt, makes it as clear as she possibly can as far as who her commitment's to, and not only to Naomi, but to Naomi's God. But then also, I think this is something, too, that young people need to also, and we as older people need to also take account for and understand that sometimes young people do and can make intelligent, mature decisions. I mean, obviously, don't know exactly how old Ruth was at this point in her life, but she was old enough to make a commitment and to stick by that commitment, as we're going to see in the story. But she made a personal, determined, a comprehensive, and all that being said, she made a very mature commitment. And I think sometimes that we, as we get older, sometimes we don't think that somebody younger can make a decision. We were talking about that this week when, you know, kind of put in perspective that, you know, Amanda moving to Bowling Green and all that, and we were kind of laughing about it, but sort of made me kind of, Amy made the comment, I think, first. It's like, you know, you realize we were married when we were her age. And that kind of made my heart stop a little bit. Just because you think at the time, you think about how old and mature and how much you knew. And then you look back on it and you realize, well, I didn't really know that much at all. But understand that we can make, as young people, we can make mature decisions. And we as older people, we need to understand and respect that when that decision is made. And then finally, it was a permanent decision. And so you see that when she makes this statement, and Naomi understood it. She's like, she wasn't going to talk her out of it at that point. She's like, she's determined to go with her. And then finally, Ruth in the chapter 1, Ruth and Naomi return to Bethlehem. And then moving on to chapter 2, we show the service of Ruth. In chapter 2, Ruth goes and gleans from the field. We see that she's diligent about her work. She, in fact, it's her idea. In verse 2, she says, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain and after him to whose sight I may find favor. And Naomi says to her, and she says to her, go, my daughter. And in the process of this gleaning this wheat, she has come across, she meets Boaz, or Boaz meets Ruth, or Ruth meets Boaz in the first 7 verses. And she's noticed there is not only is she willing to go and work, she also is noted for her hard work and says in verse 7 there, she says, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from the morning. This is what she had said to the workers for Boaz's workers, the young men under Boaz's watch. So she came and continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. So we see that not only was Ruth had made a commitment to do something, but she was going to follow through with it and was going to be shown to be a hard worker. Then in verses 8 through 16, Boaz, as he notices this hard work of hers, he goes on and he protects Ruth. And we'll just read a couple of verses there. In verses 8 and 9, it says, then Boaz says to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. And then going on, not only does he do that, but then he also, in verses 15 and 16, it goes on and says, when she arose to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even after the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And then let grain from the bundles fall from purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So not only does Boaz protect her and tell her where not to go, to where to stay and where to cling to, not only the other young women, but also the young men, he kind of guides them, but then he also gives her further, not only just to glean from the edges of the field that was customary and was provided for by the Israel, he's also given her even more. And then finally, in the last part of the chapter, Boaz goes on to not only protects her in the verses 8 through 16, but goes on to provide further for Ruth in verses 17 through 23. And there we'll just read 20 and then 22. It says, then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours and one of our close relatives. This is one of those times where the new King James says relative, and some, I think the more appropriate word, it says kinsman. And the idea of that word kinsman, and I probably could have mentioned that a little bit earlier, but the word kinsman actually means redeemer. And it's a word that's used about 13 times through the book of Ruth. And it's you know, in relation to Boaz and his relation, that he will be a redeemer for, or a kinsman of a relation, a close relation to them, and that and we'll see how that's going to unfold here in chapter 3 and 4. But the idea there also, you have that overtone, obviously, of the Redeemer that we know and as Christ. But again, we see Boaz provides for Ruth here. And then in chapter 3, we see the obedience of Ruth continue. First, Naomi seeks redemption for Ruth in verses 1 through 5. In verse 5 it says, you know, it goes on and says that she will, Naomi is taken upon herself to see that Boaz takes some, to help take some action. Verse 2 beginning says, now Boaz, whose young women who you were with, is he not our relative or kinsman? In fact, he is a winnowing barley tonight on the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garments and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then she tells her to place herself at his feet and then to make herself known a little bit later. But in verse 5, I think it says a lot about Ruth and her responsibility and her actions throughout all this. It just simply says, "And she said to her, 'All that you say to me, I will do.'" So Ruth doesn't question at all what Naomi's asking her to do. You never see any doubt or anything like that throughout this account of Ruth and what she has, this interaction with Boaz. So she goes and does what Naomi says to her. Ruth goes and obeys Naomi in verses 6 through 9. And then Boaz, in verses 10 through 18, Boaz decides that he wants to redeem her. But as the custom was in that day, it was the closest kinsman that was responsible to redeem her, or it was his first right to the closest kinsman in order to take on Ruth or have Ruth marry him. And so Boaz knows that this is not something that he can do, but that he can take on firsthand. But he continues to help Ruth. But Naomi knows with Boaz's reaction, or with Boaz's actions in this chapter 3, she can realize pretty quickly that obviously Boaz is trying very hard is going to make this happen. And in fact, one of my favorite verses in the whole book is toward the end of at the end of chapter 3 is when when Ruth has come back to Naomi, and she tells her all that Boaz has done for her. In verse 18, it says, and this is Naomi speaking, says, "Then she said, 'Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded this matter this day.'" So you can kind of tell that this wasn't just a responsibility that Boaz felt as a kinsman or a relation. He obviously had feelings for Ruth, and that he was going to make sure that he saw this through, and he was going to, and obviously, by the way, I think in a lot of what we see in chapter 4 is how he goes about having this, taking this redemption of Naomi, or of Ruth in this. So in chapter 4, we just simply talk about the reward given. In verses 1 through 12, we see that Boaz goes to this closer kinsman. He explains to this closer kinsman, here's the situation. Yeah, you can do it. At first, the kinsman thinks it sounds like a good idea that he will take on this responsibility. But then when Boaz explains to him, well, if you do this for Naomi, then realize what you're doing, that you're going to take your money, you're going to then invest it, and you're going to take on Ruth, and then whatever child she has, everything that you've invested will not be in your name, will not be in your inheritance. It will actually be in Elimelech's line. So that everything you've done is now, basically, you're not going to have anything to show for it, because it's going to take on, if you take on this responsibility, then it's going to take on that. At that point, that kinsman backs out, and then obviously we have where that Boaz is then marries Ruth. In verse 5, it says, "Then Boaz said on that day," explaining that, it says, "On that day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through the inheritance." And the close relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." So we see that he does that. And then next, Ruth bears a son to Boaz once they're married. Bears a son, and that would be Obed. And then Naomi, as it says there in verses 15 and 6, 14 and 15, and in verse 16, that she receives a new family. And it says, "Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife." And this is verse 13. "And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life, and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better to you than 7 sons has borne him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him." So you see that we talked earlier a little bit about how women were perceived in that day, but you can see that even these women in that time make the statement that Ruth was better to Naomi than 7 sons would have been. But then finally, like we already mentioned, it mentions in the lineage there in the last part of the book, it talks about Ruth being in the lineage or the great-grandmother of to David, actually. And just some real quickly, I just got about a minute or so left, just some overall lessons of the book. Just Ruth forsook all to trust Jehovah. Sometimes it's, you know, that passage in 16 and 17 in chapter 1 talks about so great about how much that, in, you know, that between Ruth and Naomi. But in that statement, she does talk about your God being my God, and that the commitment that Ruth had was more than just a superficial love for Naomi. It went deeper than that. Then also, she was committed to Naomi. It was all she forsook, but she did take care of Naomi, and she took respect upon her, or respected Naomi. And, you know, there's a lot of jokes and a lot of things said a lot of times about mother-in-laws and things of that nature, but you don't see any of that between Naomi, or between Ruth and Naomi. It's just a sincere love for Naomi and a desire to do what's right for Naomi. She was a virtuous woman. A lot of times we, you know, you can see from her love and her commitment as a young age to Naomi and also to God, but then also as she, you know, she followed up with it with hard work. She's noticed by, you know, people in Bethlehem. Here's this Moabite woman who's come, and she's noted throughout the book and of how faithful she was, not only how good she was to Naomi, but what a hard worker she was, how virtuous it was, how what her strength was throughout the book. And then finally, she trusted in the Lord's provisions. She, you know, we talk a lot about, or have been talking about, you know, you can talk about the providence of God, and I think it's throughout the book of Ruth. I mean, you know, why this Elimelech, he goes to the land of Moab, and, you know, he loses his life, and his sons die, but yet, in turn, he brings this Moabite, this young Moabite girl or woman comes back to Bethlehem and finds herself not only a book in the Old Testament, but then also forever recorded in the lineage of Christ. And so, like I said, Randy started off last week about with Rahab, and then now you have Ruth. And I think it's interesting that two of the women so far that we've discussed weren't even Israelites. And so I think it says a lot about what God expects of all of us as far as our faith is more important than who maybe our parents were or what our lineage is, and that how we're committed to the Lord. So that's a little bit about Ruth this morning. There's a whole lot more we could say, but time's up. I think Tommy has the closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to our classes.